Figure out your why. I think that's the big thing. If you know why you're doing this, it'll be so much easier to find something that speaks to your heart and head and is the right fit for you. I think we always go, well, control, freedom, flexibility. Those are great reasons. But what does that mean for you?
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we're going to welcome one of our franchise partners to discuss their brand. Now, we've spent a lot of time over the last 5 years on this podcast. Yeah, 5 years on this podcast, educating people on how franchising is not all food related. But guess what? It doesn't mean there aren't some great food and beverage franchises out there. And today, we're going to talk about one of them that has a great product, seems to always be in demand, but also we're going to hear how they've really built their franchise from the ground up, very family focused and really leaning on doing things the right way. So before we get into this franchise, a quick reminder of who we are. Fran Coach, we are the premier franchise consulting firm. Our number one goal, guess what? It's not to sell you a franchise. We don't sell anything at Fran Coach. Our focus is to properly educate you on franchise ownership to determine if this is the right fit. If so, we're going to help you find your absolute best fit, not anybody else's. All that matters is yours. That's what we're going to do. We're going to educate you and we're going to help you find the best thing. Maybe it is the brand that's joining us today. So stay tuned for that. All right, we are back with our guest and our featured franchise today is Ziggy's Coffee. And from Ziggy's is the one, the only Justin Livingston. Justin, how are you?
I'm good, Tim. Thanks for having us on, buddy.
We are excited and to chat with you, and not just because I am trying to get, like, I don't know, like something free from the local Ziggy's Coffee, but, you know, I'll get you my address afterwards. But want to hear all about that. And I got a ton of questions about Ziggy's, but you've been in franchising a long time. This is a people business. I always love hearing stories and the kind of the journey. So how in the world, there's a little story on Justin, like there was life before franchising, perhaps. How did you get into this crazy world?
Yeah, absolutely. Franchising for me, I didn't know I wanted to go into franchising. I've been doing this 20 years. And honestly, 20 years ago, there weren't college courses. I was a business marketing major, international focus, and I didn't really know. I thought franchising was McDonald's. That was kind of the extent of what I knew about it. And so I got into the coffee space, and that led me into a franchise. And I thought, well, what is this? And I start to learn. And what I found out is that good franchisors, they're just helpers. They're just shepherds. They're just recipe writers that'll help people fulfill their dreams of business ownership in a safe way where I can have a roadmap to success. And I thought, man, I didn't even know that was a thing. And then you start looking at, well, geez, franchising is everywhere. It's in every industry. It's such a huge community shifter and family shaper. And so I just thought that was a really cool thing to be able to talk to somebody when they're at that moment in their life where they go, I have a dream and I'm thinking about making a life-changing decision. Can you help? And you go, well, sure I can. I've got a roadmap here to success that might not be the right roadmap for you, but let me tell you our story and our journey. And I've been having that conversation and helped, gosh, I don't know, thousands of people in the businesses across 13 different countries. And it's just been a really wild ride on both the franchisor and my wife and I are franchisees with some units as well. And so getting to wear all the different hats and impact communities and leave a legacy for my kids and our family is really kind of our motivation and our why. And we're having a great time.
That's awesome. And I noticed you completely glossed over the fact you've also roped your brother into this. And would not allow him to be on the podcast. So, Cody, I told you I had your back. So this is truly kind of become a whole family thing for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, family and culture. As you learn about the concepts that I'm a part of, and the family is everything for us. The company names when we open franchises are Legacy 1, Legacy 2, Legacy 3. I mean, that's who we are and that's what makes us tick. And impacting our families and our communities is really what motivates us, and being able to have him and teach the kids. Someday our kids are a bit young for that right now, but teach the kids and at least right now show them by example what it means to be in business for yourself is really important.
Yeah, it's one of the things, people listen to the podcast have probably heard me say this or reference my kid probably far too often, but this is all he's known me do is be in franchising and have a business. And my wife and I, we don't at the moment, but we've owned a couple of franchises in the past. Yeah. It opens his mind up to like all of the other things that are possible. There's nothing wrong with going to school and getting a job and having that, or not even go to school, just go get a job and do those things.
Sure.
But you really can create and control your whole destiny by in this franchising space. It's not for everybody, but it's super cool. And so I'm quite sure your kids will definitely pick up on those things as they continue to grow. So and want free stuff from all the things that you own. That's also
right, exactly.
Will also be part of it. Tell us a little bit about Ziggy's Coffee. I think in franchising, one thing you can usually say is we're not actually all that smart when it comes to naming things because it's painfully obvious. So I'm going to guess that there's coffee involved with Ziggy's, but maybe share from a consumer side. It's also not just coffee. So from that consumer side, explain to us a little bit what to expect with Ziggy's.
Yeah. So outside of renaming the company Ziggy's Beverages, which is what coffee has become, is I think consumers know now, if you see a coffee shop, the likelihood of it just being coffee is pretty slim. Ziggy's takes that to a very different level in that we've always been much, much more than coffee. Coffee is a signature. We'll always have the best coffee drinks. We'll always have the best espresso. Some of the coffee shops that are getting away from drip coffee and stuff, we won't do that. We always want to be the best in that space, but it's so much more than that. And one of the big points of differentiation from a customer standpoint with Ziggy's is diversity in menu, right? Something for everybody. And without going into too many details, the beverages is a really big part of that. So we have our own proprietary energy drink that we've had for a long time and create these amazing energy infusions that, you know, I think for me, target's probably on the 18 to 24, although it's much greater than that, but it really is so good for that segment. We've got a kids zone menu so that the littles can go and have a drink that's appropriately sized and priced instead of the $7 smoothie from the other guy that you're going to throw off, but you have to go to because, right, gosh, you had to have your latte or your chai. The really exciting development, I think, for us recently is the addition of dirty sodas. And so when we added energy drinks and freshers and stuff, it was a line, and dirty sodas is a line, but dirty sodas is a culture, and it came out of Utah. Yep. And it's just going to be bananas. As a standalone unit, I don't know. But as a line, I think it's really, really important. And so it's a different day part, it's a different price point, it's a different consumer altogether. And it really focuses on that afternoon piece, which in a coffee shop traditionally is very morning focused. So we're really excited about that. But we put the Ziggified spin on it, which is we're not just going to go, yes, we have Dr. Pepper. Yes, we have Mountain Dew, which, by the way, the question isn't Coke or Pepsi anymore. It's do you have Dr. Pepper and do you have Mountain Dew? And so we do. And putting together a program around that, not just to say, yes, we have these drinks and yes, you can put a little syrup in them, but they're fun names, Rose Gold and Ride and Dirty and Sunset Boulevard. And they're cool. Some of them get a little edgy, I'll be honest, for our Ziggy's people. We're pretty conservative folks. But some of the names they're so fun, but the Ziggy's piece is you can make it a float with our products, like a Dr. Pepper float or a root beer float. They've got boba, they've got cold foam. You can have it frozen like a slushy. We've taken what exists as dirty soda out there, and we've just put the Ziggy's stamp on it. And it is, I think, the most exciting, probably menu change and addition that we've done since we started in coffee a long time ago.
Oh my God. See, I didn't know there were floats also. So,
you're hearing it here first. This is it. Right. We're going to launch some floats. They're coming out hot June 3rd.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I didn't miss it. It's coming. Okay, it's good. Coming. So, very cool. And then there's a diversity of food also, correct?
Yep. Same thing. We really want to be something for everybody. So people go, gosh, your menu's big. You've got all these flavors of syrups and you've got all these alternative milks. It's because we care about people. We want to be the best part of people's day. And that isn't just people that fit in this little box. We want to make sure that we've got dairy-free options. We've got real gluten-free options for folks that have a gluten intolerance. We've got all the, I can't have dairy and I can still have most of our menu because we've got really, really cool options. Again, the kids' zone menu is really, really important, but food too. it's fine to go through and get your chai or get your latte in the morning, but our breakfast burritos are lights out and they're not an afterthought. And I think that's probably one of the other big points of differentiation is people go, well, we sell all these drinks. We should probably have a sandwich too. And so they find the local food supplier and they open the sandwich with the best margin and it's little and it's kind of gross and it's overcooked. We spend so much time curating partnerships on every single product that the burritos are amazing. The breakfast sandwiches are amazing. We've got our morning options, and then we've got a grilled cheese and a turkey panini that all happen in our TurboChef oven, and some bean and cheese burritos and stuff in the afternoon to go along with those dirty sodas. So we really can get people on the way to work. We can get kids after school, get people on the way home from work. And our loyalty app shows that we actually do capture some customers 2-3 times a day, which is pretty awesome.
Very nice. So talk to us a little bit about, now that's the consumer side and all the different things. We need owners, right? So maybe kind of give us an idea of what you're looking for in an owner and kind of, what are some of the things they're doing? Like, are they sitting there like at the drive-thru taking orders all day, making coffee? What does that typically look like?
Yeah, so we're really focused on people and culture. And I think a lot of people say that in a marketing brochure because it sounds nice. But we don't care how many franchisees we bring on board. We don't talk about numbers in a sense of like, if we don't have on 50 new franchisees or our sold not open number is so, who cares? We want to find the right partners to bring into our family. And if that's one, terrific. If it's 1,000, terrific. We're really making sure that we're expanding our family in a very intentional way. And we've had a lot of success. We just hit a couple milestones. We opened I think we're now at 108 stores, but I read somewhere, and Tim, you may have better stats than me, but I checked in my resources with the IFA, and only like 16% of total franchises ever hit that 100 unit mark. 16%.
Yeah.
So we've kind of joined this elite class of having 100 open and many more coming. We've got over 300 signed. So we've done a good job of finding the right people. So who is that for us? It's really culture. We are who we are. We're very community focused. We're very family focused. We treat our employees with incredible respect and opportunities to grow and be a part of our family. They are. My wife and I own 3 of these, and every one of our staff members, which is largely 17 to 24, there's some outliers in there, but that's really kind of who high school and college kids that are working there. They're really an extension of our family, and they feel that. And so role of the owner, make them feel that, right? If they know that you love them, they'll go to the ends of the earth for you. If they feel safe and valued and they can be who they are and that their whole job, the drinks are great. The products, the food, they're amazing. It's not enough anymore. It's not even close to enough. The assumption is your products are awesome. That's the baseline.
Right.
If they're not, you have a bigger problem. But if that's the baseline, how do you differentiate yourself? And it's all about customer experience, making people feel really loved and appreciated every single time they go through the drive-thru or they come up to the drive-thru window or they walk into our cafe. And the only way you can do that as an owner, which kind of leads to your question, is to make sure that you've empowered your staff to make every customer feel that way. If the staff feels they're overworked or they're underappreciated or they're underpaid, it will come through to the customers. And so how can you create an environment as an owner where when we walk in, my 11-year-old makes a faster campfire cocoa in the blender than any staff member I have. It's the only drink she can make because that's her drink. But she walks in and she's high-fiving the staff. They know me. They know my wife. They know our kids. We're usually on the way to a soccer game or a gymnastics meet or a swim meet. But they know who we are. And we're part of their life. We're part of their community. And they know they're an extension of us. And they know that we care about them. And then they exude that to the customer, right? They pass that on. And it's okay to like take a moment. And if there's a soccer player in the backseat of the drive-thru, it's not just about throughput. It is about speed. But it's about being like, hey, did we win the game? Are we coming or going? How'd you play? And just that little interaction, it just makes the customer, if it's authentic, feel really cared about. And they'll come back time and time again. And they'll tip well for the employees. And they'll feel that sense of community and loyalty to the brand and that store and that community. And that's really a huge point of differentiation and something that's hard to replicate. But I think we do a really good job with arming our folks with tools to be able to be those kinds of owners.
Yeah, no, I love it. And there's always, and I'm sure you hear this all the time with candidates, but oh geez, there's labor issues, and I'm like, and I always kind of feel that like nails on a chalkboard, because it's not the labor issue, it's the leadership issue, right? If right, the people don't leave jobs, they leave the boss, right? And if you're the person nobody likes to work for, guess what? You're going to have a lot of turnover, and it ain't them, right? And so really kind of creating that, and culture is a little like buzzy sometimes from a word perspective, but it doesn't mean it's not accurate. And it's just which one is best for people. But I want to come back to something, and you'll be nice and polite, and I am not the person in this industry that feels the need to do so.
Can't wait.
Greatly appreciate how Ziggy's has gone through the development phase, right? Is you've hit that milestone of 100, which congratulations for that, because that is a huge monumental. It's like you're a grown up now, right? As a franchise. Right. But you did it responsibly, fun little buzzword in franchise. And usually when people talk about responsible franchise, they're the ones that aren't, that are overselling, without any regard for, can they get open? Will they be successful? Were they the right person? They take a quick path, maybe we could say, as in a different word. So I greatly appreciate that. So whether that's the right, Ziggy's is the right fit for somebody or not, I've always just had a great deal of respect for how you guys are doing that. So I want to make sure I say that. Talk a little bit about, we've got the owner, we talked a little bit about the staff. Like, we're not operating this. This isn't like a home-based business, right? There's a little bit of a build out. There's been a kind of an evolution of this for you guys. And I believe still maybe a couple different potential models. So what does that space look like? Kind of number one, what's it look like, and what are some of the options?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for the kind words. That intentionality and development is really kind of a cornerstone for us. So I appreciate you bringing that up. There's so much opportunity left. And the reality is pre-COVID changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And for us, it didn't change much. In fact, those COVID years, we were able to give a lot of product away for free to folks who work in hospitals and EMTs and that kind of stuff. We just kind of put on masks and went about our business. We have very little food interaction. We're all stainless steel. But one of the things that did change was everybody said, drive-thrus are a good idea. And we were like, ooh, secrets out. Drive-thrus still where the business is. And so for us, we do, and interestingly enough, and this wasn't intentional, but my wife and I have one of each model. So we have a standalone drive-through only with a real estate play. That's kind of part of that legacy piece. We have a standalone cafe drive-through with a real estate play, again, to the legacy piece. And we have an in-cap cafe drive-through of a strip mall. And I'll tell you that all models have pros and cons. It's really driven by the market. So my in-cap strip mall, first of all, they're less expensive. They're quicker to get into. They cash flow. And for us, we use that to then buy real estate, which is kind of our larger goal. There's no wrong answer. The market dictates it. And what I mean by that is if you're by a high school and a middle school, you got to have a cafe. You just do, because those after school pops or the late start Wednesday mornings for us here in Colorado and Boulder County, for some reason, the kids start an hour late on Wednesday mornings. They're all at our store because the parents still have to go to work.
So right.
It's our store.
Your daycare.
It's chaos for 90 minutes and then the kids go to school, but it's amazing. I mean, it's really cool. It's a part of that community that we're part of. And that we wouldn't have it without the cafe. One of my stores, we're not by any of that kind of stuff. We're on a really huge artery for commuters. We want to be easy in, easy out, very quick, still start your day off right with that customer experience. And so it's really dictated sometimes by budget. Obviously, not everybody could be a $2 million with real estate and all of that investment on this, on the buy and build. And it can be less than half that for an end cap. So some people it's driven by budget. Some people it's driven by market. Sometimes it's a little bit of both, but all three models are really exceptional. The drive-through model in the end cap, kind of back to that secret being out, gets a little bit tougher sometimes because those are coveted units. Nobody wants the middle unit. Everybody wants that drive-through. We've got a really amazing real estate team that helps kind of aggressively find those locations for franchisees. It's also different operationally. I think if you stripped it all away, you said, what's the best model? I'd say the standalone drive-through only. It's simple. It's simple from a staff. The staff is very internal. When you're in a cafe, you're always on, right? There's somebody sitting, you're a staff person, you're always smiling, you're always checking on people. It's very much kind of more into that hospitality side. That can be exhausting. It's a different caliber of employee. As we're in a drive-thru only, it's really turn and burn internally. So you can put a very introverted person on the bar and they can be an all-star for you. And yeah, then just have that really bubbly person at the window. So you get a little bit more flexibility there, but it kind of depends on the owner and what they want to accomplish and what the time frame is and what the budget is and how they want to run the business.
Talk a little bit about, you touched on the real, so this is, there's, guess what, folks, if you're going to own a Ziggy's Coffee, you're going to have a physical location. Again, which of these options? Very, very rarely do we talk to somebody that all they've done their whole life is negotiate commercial leases or build outs or whatever. So it can be frightening, I think, yeah, and should be frightening. But talk how you guys, some of the levels of support and the ways in which you're going to help people from signing a franchise agreement to actually getting that sucker open from the location perspective.
Yeah, it is. Frightening is a great word for commercial real estate. It's brutal. And if you don't really know, we've even had people come in and go, no, I'm a residential real estate broker. I've got this. You don't got this.
No, you don't.
Like, those are two different languages. And if you speak the language incorrectly on a commercial side by not putting in extensions and things to do or not being patient, knowing that the guy you're buying from has 500 properties and he'll get back to you maybe in a couple of weeks or months. If you don't know that world, it can be really frustrating and a lot of false starts. And so for us, we get people into our launch program, and our launch program is really soup to nuts from the time you sign to the time you open. And so in the end, it includes all the things it should, with a really robust training, our trainers going out there and being the grand opening staff, marketing support, PR, all of that stuff. But way before any of that happens, it starts with real estate. And so understanding your market is key, but there's three real players in this. We've got an amazing national commercial real estate partner that's external. We've got our internal launch team, which is incredible with the technology and the experience of evaluating locations. And then we have you, the franchisee. Nobody knows your market better than you. And you go, here's kind of where I want to look, and here's my budget. And then the real estate team goes, okay, based on where you want to look and your budget, here's some options. And then our team comes in and helps evaluate. So it's really a team effort that can take a long time. Yeah. I think if we're myth busting a little bit, sometimes people go, well, so it can be open in what, 4 to 6 months? No, you can't. And if anybody's telling you that, they're
lying. Yes.
And so, you know, people go, how long? The right location a year from now, every time beats the wrong location tomorrow. And so having the patience to be, I'm going to write a franchise fee check and a launch fee check. I'm going to spend some money. And then it might take a year. Sometimes people have a really hard time wrapping their mind around that. And I go, great. So think it's going to take 2 years. And then you'll probably maybe be impressed.
Right. Then you'll be happy.
Takes a long time. And so really robust launch process with lots and lots of players to make sure that we're finding folks the right spot.
How often do you have to talk people off, like falling in love with something that's really not the right fit?
So often. Yeah. Sometimes you fall in love with dirt's really, I tell you what it almost always comes down to, Tim, and I'm sure you've heard it too, which is like, yeah, but it's 5 minutes from my house.
Right. Who cares?
Who cares? That's the least well. Now, if it's 5 hours from your house, okay, now we can talk about there. I don't know. That sweet spot is different for everybody. You know, for us, our three stores are within 15 minutes of our house, and what a blessing. But it wasn't a requirement. And in fact, when you go into our launch process, if you say, here's my budget, here's the model, and I'm looking for a 5 mile radius from this pin, which is where I live, boy, it's going to be a rough journey. And so we vet that out in the process too, because it just, could we find something in that radius? Maybe, like maybe not. But when somebody comes to us and says, I'm pre-approved for 2 million, I can do any model. And as long as I don't have to drive more than 35, 45 minutes, I'm all yours. Wow. Now we're going to find you the perfect spot. And because, and I'm going to be patient and wait for you guys to help me find this perfect spot.
Right. Yeah. It's weirdly a little like dating. Like if you're going to, I'm going to get on this dating app and I'm going to put my radius for my mate to be in my subdivision. Like we're kind of limiting the possibilities there just a teeny tiny bit.
Have you walked around your neighborhood? Have you met them yet? Then maybe they're not.
Or more importantly, they already know you. They've seen like not doing that.
Swipe left or right or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So tons of support there. Talk about some of the other things from a support structure. I think of like, well, we need to buy all the stuff and all the product. Do owners have to figure all of that out? Like, and I know the answer to that is no. But talk a little bit about how you guys are helping with all of that.
Yeah, we'll continue with some myth busting, right? The owner is going to do nothing because the franchisor does everything for me. That's not true.
Wait, but, what?
Yeah, I know.
As an owner, I have to do something? Oh,
right.
Let me write that down.
I know, make a note. Make a note. That's on the next episode. You have to work through this.
Yes.
But we've done so much that you don't do anything alone. And I think that's the big differentiator. Yeah. We don't do it for you. We give you the recipe and then we're riding shotgun on your journey. But the things that, like you talk about distribution, really great. So cost of goods across the board in every food and beverage about 4 years ago started to creep, and then it went from a creep to a skyrocket, and a lot of restaurants didn't survive it. And so one of the things that good franchisors who were well capitalized and saw the writing on the wall started to do, and we were no different, which is we had to bring it in-house. There was too many hands in the pot, and it just made all of a sudden cost of goods creep up enough that it just wasn't viable for franchisees. And so we brought that in-house, and that was was a big play. Most concepts can't do that, and luckily we have founders with foresight and the ability to be able to move on those kinds of things. Even though we're small, we don't have PE money, we don't have investors, we just have these amazing founders with really big ideas, and the ideas are always, how can we set people up to be successful? So distribution was one of those things. We're able to bring that kind of quasi in-house so that it's really controlled, and we can help manage those costs of goods, which is really important. Marketing is a really big one. There are great marketing agencies out there. Every time I talk about this, I get some nasty email or text from of somebody I've worked with. Marketing agencies are great. They are. We don't use them because everything is in-house. And so what happens in agencies, you spend a lot of time convincing people what your voice and your culture is. It's okay, and good agencies can knock the cover off of that. And sometimes there's some strikes, and sometimes there's some home runs. But when it's internal, it's always home runs because we are the voice. We are the culture. And so we're really, I would say comparatively, pretty top-loaded on our marketing team. We have videographers, we have photographers, we have graphic designers, we have creative, we have writers. We have an incredible fractional CMO. We have this really robust team, and the result is quick, nimble, really on point marketing campaigns, LTOs, the ability to do mailers, the ability to do PR, manage social media, all the things that owners typically aren't good at and don't have to be good at. And it allows us to just keep flooding that market with loyalty and promotions and the ability to not kind of set back from the competition, but to innovate and be in front of it, like, did you see this? And have the intel to be like, you're an energy drink guy. I'm going to tell you all about dirty soda, because those two things typically are similar customers, and be able to just speak to these things really quickly without going, all right, in 6 months, we're going to have this message out. And you go, the message came and went. We missed
it. Right.
And so, you know, those kinds of internal things, our operational team is full of industry veterans and Ziggy's veterans. Our VP of operations made drinks with the owner many, many years ago in the first location. Like, that's so unique and a testament to not only how they treat people and employees, but also just the commitment to this brand and growing it in a really intentional way.
Yeah. I always think when everybody's going to talk about culture, right? And then like one of the ways I can suss through is that a bunch of crap or is that real, is tenure, right?
Totally.
Is how long people are with brands. Are they moving up? Or they constantly move in different places. And as long as I've known Ziggy's, you've been there, right? And then to have somebody that literally was making drinks that's now still there, really does speak to, like, you guys aren't just blowing smoke on, hey, we're trying to create a family like atmosphere. We want to have fun. We want to make more in business to make money, right? But there's no reason why we can't have a ton of fun along the way, which is really cool.
Absolutely. And you said it earlier, if you look at somebody's material and all over it is the word family and culture, you don't have it. You don't have it. Because the people who tell you they have it don't have it. The people who have it, they just live it and they breathe it. And it's evidenced really obviously when you just peek behind the curtain a little bit and you kind of go, just look at what's happening here. Look at the way they treat each other. Look at the things they do in the community and the people they help and the way they stay out of polarizing things. And it becomes really obvious. And if it's on a marketing brochure, you know, question it at minimum.
Correct. I want to appreciate all the information on Ziggy's. I got one more question. Ziggy's related. I want to touch on, but you're also part of franchise transformations, right? Did I get the name correctly? You're also part of a few other brands as well. One we've probably all heard of and maybe even seen a movie about years ago, and then two are a little bit newer. And we maybe find a time to have you come back to talk about any of these others, but give us a scoop of some of the other brands that you're involved with as well.
Yeah, I love that. When I founded Franchise Transformations, it was really about just getting involved with concepts that I wanted to be a part of. We're not just Fran Dev. We're not one of those big FSOs that are taking orders. We really want to invest in and be a part of these concepts. And so I was lucky enough in a previous life to be working with Coyote Ugly for their international expansion. It's kind of cool to work for a brand where you go, you haven't heard of it? Go watch the movie.
Right.
That's pretty cool. They've had this cult following since the movie came out in 2000. My wife and I are actually a franchisee with some partners and own the location in Piccadilly in London. There's locations all over the world, and we were able to do that internationally, take them to all of these different countries, which was really super cool from a franchise development standpoint. And we're now doing that, just launching here domestically. Very specific owner, very specific markets. We're not going to do hundreds of these. We're going to do a couple, but it's really cool. And then like I did with Ziggy's, I'm a builder. I love the emerging space. Some people that scares, and that's fine. You know, some buyers, they go, well, call me when you got 50 units. Okay. I mean, you'll have missed the opportunity, but fine. But I love building. I love building things that I can be a part of too. And so Local Drive is a golf simulator craft cocktail bar. Golf is hot right now. These concepts are hot right now. And I think we've got a really cool spin on it with the local aspect is about local contacts, local cocktails, local distilleries and breweries and wineries and stuff. So you come into this cool craft cocktail bar that's very focused on a lot of cool local opportunities. And then you've got these amazing Trackman golf bays. It's light, it's bright, it's good for everybody. It's not the man cave of years past with some of these. And so that's a really cool concept called Local Drive. We're about to finish our third corporate unit here in a couple weeks. And then we're hitting that really franchising really hard, which is exciting. And then Tapster is a self-pour bar, really kind of niche leading. Again, you can't just be a bar anymore, just like coffee and wings and everything else. And so there's the golf part of Local Drive. Tapster's got this U-Pour concept that couldn't be more timely because people, especially the younger generations, they want control. As where with me at Coyote Ugly, I want the experience. I want the show. I want to talk to a bartender. I want the bartender to talk back. I'm okay waiting lines, but yeah, I'm old. And some of the younger generations and some people our age too, they don't want that. And Tapster is everything opposite. It's you in control. In fact, that's what the Tapster is, the old word for the bartender, the one tap in the keg. And so you get to be that person where you go in and there's 40 plus taps, and it's not just IPAs. You know, a couple of these started independently years ago, and you go, oh, there's 52 IPAs on tap. Okay. But now it's hard kombucha and ciders and IPAs and local, you know, maybe nitro coffee or spike this. We do cocktails. It's just a really wide variety so that you go in and you can drink a little, you can drink a lot. There's non-alcoholic options, which is a huge, if you're not paying attention in the bar space and non-alcoholic right now, you are about to miss the boat. But there's all these different options. And I, the consumer, I bring my own food. I don't have waste. I don't have spoilage. So I am in control. And it's a really cool concept that we have a couple corporate units, two franchise units in Cleveland and opening right now, pretty much as we speak, in Lexington, and franchisees in Denver and Long Island. And so that's going to be a franchise to watch for sure coming up.
Very, very, very cool. The Local Drive, I may possibly be married to somebody that really, 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 really wants to own a golf simulator business right now. So, yeah.
Well, we're really focused on Tampa. So if you know somebody, oh, is that where she lives? Sorry.
Sorry. It's actually Tarpon Springs. Totally different. You wouldn't understand the market.
No, yeah, totally.
I'll pass that along. Sorry, honey. So a lot of cool, a couple cool things coming, and then of course the Coyote Ugly is always cool. But again, I'm old, so there's that. But with Ziggy's and all your experience in this, I think the last thing I'll throw at you is just you've talked to people for years thinking about this. And our whole audience, all eight of them that listen to this podcast every week, are trying to figure out, oh my gosh, is this for me or not? What's maybe a piece of advice that you would give somebody out there listening to this, like to try to determine if this is for them or not?
Yeah, figure out your why. I think that's the big thing. If you know why you're doing this, it'll be so much easier to find something that speaks to your heart and head and is the right fit for you. I think we always go, well, control, freedom, flexibility. Those are great reasons. But what does that mean for you? You know, for me, the reason I do what I do is I outwork most people I know, but I also pick my kids up from school and I coach their soccer teams and I own my time. And even though I may put in more hours than most people, I know that if I coached and I was able to spend really good quality family time at dinner, and then they go to bed at 9:30, and then I'm maybe back on till 2 a.m. some nights. But that's okay, because it's the trade-off. And I do that because I own what I do. And so if that's the kind of freedom you're looking for, business ownership can be great because you get to call the shots. You're making your dream come true versus somebody else's. But that's my why. I think when you identify that and what culture is important and finding something you can be excited about.
Yeah.
Again, maybe that's not important to somebody. Somebody goes, well, I'm just excited about making money. Okay. But I think most people want a bit more of a cultural connection to the concepts. And that's why we do the brands that we do, because it's so culture forward that you either love us or you don't. And if you do, this is the right fit. And if it's not,
that's okay too.
Right? Yeah. Go find something else.
Yeah. And even, and really it's rare when somebody's like, oh, my why is I want to make money. Well, okay. But doing what? Like it's still that opportunity to create your why has to be, well, I want to do things that I'm good at, that I want to do. I want to control what that looks like, because the money always follows the fit. If it's, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is the thing? We did a podcast on this a couple of weeks ago. The phrase in franchising or outside franchising looking at, oh, it's just buying a job. Like, yeah, you're damn right it is. And it is the absolute dream job for you that you are completely in control of. And then when you're all done with that quote job, you know what you get to do? You get to sell it, right? So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that cubicle you're sitting in, you ain't selling that job to the next person. Right. They give you the box and walk you out, right? So it is. And so again, I love that answer of the why, because it is, I'm with you. It is 100% about that. And then just figuring out what the heck you want to do. And maybe it's a Ziggy's coffee, or here soon a Tapster or a Local Drive anywhere but North Tampa for Local Drive. Let's get that out there. But we'd love to get you back. Let's steal you again and talk about these other brands. But Justin, I greatly appreciate the time. And this is way better without your brother too, by the way. So
I'll make sure he knows.
Yeah. But no, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And hopefully we can get you back again soon.
Love it. Appreciate the time and opportunity, Tim.
Thanks. Thanks again to Justin Livingston from Ziggy's Coffee for joining us today. And hopefully we can get Ziggy's for Justin to come back and talk a little bit about some of those other brands that he mentioned as well. We hope, as always, the podcast is helps kind of enlighten you into the amazing possibilities that are out there and some of the key things you need to think about to determine if you should own one, and if so, which one. You want to learn more? A couple of easy places for us. Our YouTube channel is continually being updated and revamped, looking good. If you haven't subscribed there, certainly I know you already are for the podcast, and if not, hurry up and do so. But our YouTube channel is Francoach for you, the number four and the letter U, Francoach for you. All of our podcasts, tons of other videos, our Franchising 360 show is there in case you miss it every Friday, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Biz TV. And then you can head us up at francoach.net. When you're ready to learn more about franchise ownership to see if it is for you, our team can help you. There's never any fee for our service. So let us help you hopefully create your better tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.